We're joined by the voice of the Razorbacks, Chuck Barrett. And Chuck, when that game went to the 10th inning, I got to thinking about, wow, last night's game between Missouri and Mississippi State, 17 innings, tied the longest game in the tournament's history, 1994. Were you doing that Arkansas
game? I was doing
Auburn
that game. Oh, I sure was. Yeah, I tell you a funny story. One of the guys that works for the SEC works this tournament. It's a guy named Jeff Muir, who at the time was our sports information director for baseball. And he was here last night, too, working for the SEC. So I saw him this morning, and first thing he said was, "I've seen the two longest games in the history of this tournament." I said, "Well, man, I remember the first one, so I'm glad last night was you and not me."
Two longest baseball games in tournament history. And we've got Matt Jones back in the studio that's played in the two longest college football games in the history.
We're not afraid to hang around for a while, are we, Matt?
I like it. And you know, I got to listen to the last couple innings driving in to work, and you did a great job calling the game.
Well, thanks. You know, you hate to see a game that was that well pitched and like that. Now, having said that, Arkansas made a couple of mistakes on the bases today, or they'd have won this thing in regulation. But, you know, when you're in a tournament, you take any win any way you can get it. That term survive and advance is as appropriate a term in sports as there is, and that's all you're trying to do. You can't win a tournament unless you win the first game. It's very, very hard to do. And when you win that first game, though, you know, again, all of a sudden everything seems possible.
Yeah, anything can happen. And Trey and Chuck, I wanted to ask y'all about the I guess the runner was on second, and it was a bloop single, and he didn't
– he couldn't advance.
He couldn't
know whether the ball
okay.
was going to be caught, and then once it did drop, it was right there in front of the right fielder.
I got you.
There was no way he was going to be able to score.
You can't –
you know, when you're up high, you could tell it was going to drop.
Right.
When you're at field level, you really
could. And I'm just listening, and so that's one of those deals where you wish you could have actually seen it, but, you know, you did a good job explaining that he couldn't go, but y'all actually got to see it.
Yeah, it was one of those plays. The first thing you're thinking is, gosh, I hope it drops. And then once you saw it was going to drop, you hope the base runner, you know, could see it from field level and more than anything, the third base coach. But, you know, to make the kind of pitch he made to strike out Mahan and then to come back and throw one in the dirt to lose it like that, I'm sure it's frustrating for Ole Miss. That's a tough way to lose a game.
Well, and I think Dave Van Horn, and he talked about it in the post-game press conference too, the fact that both pitchers pitched great. Barrett Aston pitched outstanding. He didn't want to put him back out there in the ninth because of what he had done through this game. He wanted him to remember that feeling of how he pitched, because you don't want to put him in a situation to where it might hurt you down the road next week or the week after, or even maybe if they can make it all the way back to Omaha.
I think it's the best game he's pitched as a Razorback. I'm not going to say it's the most important game he's pitched in, because there have been more important ball games. But I thought there was a point. You got to remember, he went from the second through, I believe, the sixth inning, facing the minimum. And I know that going into the sixth or the seventh inning, I think, he'd faced one over the minimum at that point, because they turned a couple of inning-ending double plays. And he was getting quick at bats. He was getting ground balls on first pitches. He was getting ground balls on second pitches. And I thought he was as effective today, or more effective today, and more in control and, you know, within himself, so to speak, as he's ever been. There have been more important games, and maybe there will be again. Been games where he's gotten more support and pitched shutouts. But I really thought he pitched his best game today, and they needed every pitch that he made, because – they weren't able to get a lot going offensively.
Second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth innings, yeah. He faced the minimum.
Faced the minimum. Yeah, I mean, that's setting them up and mowing them down right there.
And Arkansas gets the win, 2-1. Glad you are joining us here on Overtime. Great to have Chuck Barrett along with us here at the Hoover Met and the SEC baseball tournament. And, Chuck, one thing I noticed yesterday coming in is, now that the Barons have their own ballpark to play in, this field has not been used since Hoover High played football, and it is probably in the best shape it's ever been in.
It's in good shape. They've done a very good job with it. Now, conference has got some hard decisions to make as we move forward. But I think given the situation, I think the field looks great. Now, I do think you've got to look around this stadium right now and look at all the empties when Alabama and LSU are playing, and you've got to ask yourself if this is really the right decision. And I think they're going to continue to have to ask themselves that, whether they want to or not. But there's no question that the field is in great condition. It's too big for the way college baseball's played now, but there's no question it's in good condition.
When you look at Arkansas moving forward, and they're going to play the winner of this game now between LSU and Alabama, and LSU just scored their second run in the bottom of the first, so they are up on Alabama 2-0 with only one out in the bottom of the first inning. A team in Alabama that Arkansas won 2 of 3 on the road in Tuscaloosa, and then a team in LSU that Arkansas was only able to win one game, but they lost the rubber game in 10 innings.
Yeah, LSU's really good. I've not seen Vanderbilt play in person. LSU's the best team. You know, when they came to Fayetteville, I thought they were the best team I've seen. I've not seen Vandy play. I've heard people say they're better than LSU, but I've not seen them. I think the question's going to be, who does LSU pitch tomorrow? Are they going to throw Nola? They've not thrown their number one pitcher in this tournament yet. They probably don't have to if they don't want to. They didn't throw him in that last series. Mm-hmm. And they said he's going to throw the first game of the tournament. Well, we've not seen him yet. I've got to believe he pitches tomorrow, and I think on paper, got the best pitching matchup in the SEC this year with Stanek and Nola. These guys may finish 1-2 in the pitcher of the year voting, but that'll be a great matchup. And I don't care who you play. When Stanek's pitching, you got a chance.
When you got to the ballpark today, you were probably thinking, okay, Wise is going to be behind the plate and everything's going to work out. He got a little sick earlier in the week, and Dave Van Horn had to adjust the lineup when he got here.
Yeah, he got sick Saturday at Auburn. They took him to the doctor on Monday, and he was in the original lineup. I can tell you because I wrote it out my in my score sheet. But he was struggling during BP. You know, they take BP at a different spot, and he said he was struggling there. Dave did, and said he just, he went over to Ramirez and said, "You're going to have to go today." And I'm going to tell you, I think that was, for all the great things other people did, Ramirez could have cost him the game today. That injury could have cost them the game. You think about a low-scoring ball game where it was a station-to-station game where really every base mattered. There was a point where he caught a foul tip in the eighth inning when Ole Miss had a guy at third, and Beeks had the confidence in him to throw a slider down around the dirt, and he caught the foul tip, and I thought that was one of the keys to the entire game today, was how a backup catcher who hadn't played very well handled his pitcher in Aston, pitched one of his best games, didn't let anything get by him. And ironically, it's a guy that's viewed as one of, if not the best defensive catchers in our league, that lets the ball get by him for Arkansas to win the ball game. So I thought that was a big thing today, to have a player hurt and to have a seldom-used player come in and maybe not win him the game, but not lose him the game. Because I'm going to tell you, at catcher, you can lose your team the game. And he did not do that today.
It's overtime. Matt Jones back in the studio along with the Freak Freaky Joe Franklin. I'm Trey Schapp along with Chuck Barrett, the voice of the Razorbacks here in Hoover, Alabama. And Chuck, it's a little bit different feeling than this time 365 days ago or 366 days ago. Arkansas lost the first game of the SEC tournament to a team from Mississippi.
Yep. You lose that first game. A lot of times you lose that second game, too. This is a team that's been so hard to figure out. And I will admit that through now 55 or 56 games, I've not put my finger on it. I don't know that I will. They frustrate you to death. They pitch great. Then they make base-running mistakes like they did
today.
Hit by batted balls, picked off at second. I mean, they do all sorts of things to frustrate you. But yet, you know with that pitching staff that you've got a chance to win every game. And, I've seen teams sometimes, long road trips, one of two things happen. Either you, at the end of the road trip, you're just so ready to get home, you roll over and play dead just so you can get out of there, or you get riding that euphoric high and you're in that hotel room for a week or so and teams come together. And I'm a big believer in how you conduct yourself on the road, how you handle yourself. That leads to wins. If you're a good road team, you got a chance, and this is a good road team.
I don't want to ask you – well, I don't want to ask you about hosting a region, I think, because everybody knows what's at stake down here. But one more game?
I don't know.
A win?
I don't know. Mississippi State's in the mix. Mississippi State's won 40 games.
If they would have lost last night?
Yeah, but they didn't. And
I know.
And so, I think we look at that. Look, I think the Razorbacks are better than Mississippi State. I do. They won that series. I think Mississippi State's good. I don't think they're great. I don't know that they're the I don't know that they're the third best team in this league or the fourth best team in this league. In fact, I don't think they are. But I do think right now they're ahead of Arkansas in the pecking order when it comes to a regional because of what happened at Auburn this past weekend. I honestly don't know. South Carolina is out there too. We're not going to get five regionals. The league's not going to get five regionals. I don't think they get more than three. My hunch is one more win's not enough. I don't know if winning this tournament might be enough.
Really?
Here's what's hurt Arkansas in the eyes of the rest of the nation. Their RPI is bad. The RPI is bad because, number one, they lost to teams like Pacific, but they've got some bad RPI wins. There's no way to know the University of New Orleans is going to be 6-40. There's no way to know Alabama State's going to be like, 3-55, whatever they are. You don't know that ahead of time. But given the way the RPI works, the reason Arkansas's RPI is low is because most of their non-conference wins are bad RPI wins. And to put it in layman's terms, with the way the RPI is set up in baseball now, you get about a credit and a half for a win on the road and about half a credit for a win at home. Well, you're playing bad teams that have turned out to be really bad this year. You get a half a credit for beating them at home. And so, in other words, you don't get much. And then you lose big time on the RPI when you lose to a team like Pacific and Arizona. And that's where I think Arkansas is hurt in terms of the regional pecking order. I do think the RPI hurts them. That's a really long answer, but I think Arkansas is going to have to be here to Sunday, and they may have to win this thing to get back in the hosting conversation.
And Chuck, you were talking about LSU. You said you thought probably was the most complete and the best team right now. What is your top three?
Well, of the ones I've seen, I've not seen Vanderbilt play.
Okay.
I've had a lot of people that I really respect tell me Vanderbilt's better than LSU. I don't know that.
Was it like LSU, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt? Are those pretty consensus top three right now
SEC? I think this year it's Vanderbilt, LSU, and everybody else.
Okay.
I mean, Arkansas swept South Carolina over there. I think South Carolina is good, but I think Arkansas is good too. Mississippi State's playing with a lot of confidence right now. I think those are the top five. If you wanted to put five together right now, I think those would be the five. But I think Vandy and LSU week in and week out, they've been the cream of the crop, and the race has been for third place. People forget Arkansas did finish in third place in this conference, which is not bad. And they've had better teams that have gone two and out in this tournament. So, we're still here, and we'll see what happens.
And their record last year, they won one less game than the conference champion last year this year.
Yeah.
It's just weird how the conference worked out this year.
Part of it is, very honestly, the bottom of the East is not good this year. Tennessee was not very good. Georgia was not very good. Kentucky really underachieved this year. I mean, they really underachieved. I think they're the biggest disappointment in the league. So you've got three teams right there that are pretty easy to beat. And I'm not suggesting that they padded their record on that side, but I think you combine that with the fact that Vanderbilt didn't have to play us and they didn't have to play LSU. That's going to be two or three losses. I don't care how good you are. You're going to lose probably two or three of those six ball games right there. So I'm not minimizing what they've done because, I've heard people say that they're great. But LSU this time of year, buddy, you better strap it on if you're going to beat them because they know what's at stake and they know how to win ball games this time of year. I can't stand them, but I respect them. How about that?
Well, hey, just let them play Stony Brook again in a region.
Yeah, maybe that's what needs to happen.
And real,
they're awfully good this year. They're better defensively than any LSU team I've seen.
And real quick, guys, I don't have the breaking news deal right here, but breaking news, Michael Crabtree tore his Achilles in OTAs. Ooh. And that probably, when you tear your Achilles, that probably means he's out for the season. Do they try to keep, go and get Randy Moss again, or what do they do there?
They better go get somebody.
You got to get somebody. You got to get someone for him. That's tough.
Yeah, he was their number one guy. You have Vernon Davis, who's he's probably right now one of the best tight ends in the game, top three. But, as a receiver, Crabtree was their guy.
That's a tough loss. Tough loss. And then also, Urlacher decides to retire from the NFL today.
I didn't know that.
And, Chuck, you might not know this either, but Arkansas and LSU are going to play football on the day after Thanksgiving again.
Did they announce that today?
1:30 on CBS.
That sounds good. That sounds good to me.
Chuck, is
are you going to make the trip from Hawaii back to Baton Rouge?
Well, I have brought that up. I have brought that up. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I don't know. The way it's set up, I guess we're playing in Maui, and I think
it's
the last
Monday,
game's on
Wednesday.
Monday, Wednesday, I think. I don't know. That's a long way of saying I don't know.
It's a long way away, too.
Yeah, it is a long
way. There's a lot more
luck
to do this year.
Between
you got,
now
you got baseball to do this year.
Hey, we got summer break to get to first.
Well, that's true, and you're going to be on the golf course and probably fishing a little bit.
Well, you might be right.
How the setup now for Arkansas, obviously, with the win today. They get a little bit longer of a break now. They don't have to come back and play an early game tomorrow.
That's the, you know, it's nice to play that first game because you don't play in the heat of the day, and then you do get a little bit extra time. Obviously, hey, everything steps up tomorrow. I mean, I don't care if you're playing at 6 in the morning or midnight. You're gonna if it's LSU, and I think it will be. You better be ready to go. You better be ready to go, whether you're rested, whatever. But, yeah, you know, it helps. I think for a player, a 4 or 5 o'clock game is perfect because those guys like to sleep in. They can sleep in the morning, go to the park early in the afternoon for BP. And you know, the ball game begins in the daylight, and it's obviously a lot cooler by the, you know, by the time it's over.
Talk about Brian Anderson today. Kind of struggled early at the plate, but then gets the ground rule double there to lead off. The 10th, the one hopper over the wall. And I thought that Vincent batted well, 3 for 3 in his first 3 at-bats, and then Anderson coming on.
You know, their pitcher, they brought him out for the 4th inning there, if I'm not mistaken, and he fell behind. He had not fallen behind. He fell behind Anderson 2-0, and that's when Anderson hit that ball over the center fielder's head. And, you know, that's a home run in any college park, including, you know, the ballpark up in Omaha. And that, you know, got him going. And then he fell behind the next hitter, too. And I thought that was a real critical turn of events there for the guy who had been pitching well, Greenwood, I think it was. Mm-hmm. You know, for him to fall behind, Anderson to hit that ball like that, and that sort of got him going.
Chuck. We appreciate it.
Guys, always good to be with you. It's fun today.
You got a little bit of chicken salad.
Yeah, I worked on a little chicken salad over here, so I can –
Chuck, hey, real quick, Chuck. Is Brian Urlacher first ballot Hall of Famer?
I don't think so, but I think he's probably a Hall of Famer.
He's an 8-time Pro Bowler, and I believe he – He's close to – you know, I think that lore of the whole middle linebacker from the Chicago Bears might help him out a little bit also.
I think you're probably right about that. I think you're on to something there. You know, I wouldn't argue either way. I don't know that I'd make him first ballot. But
right.
I don't know. I might be a little tougher on him than some of those guys that are in the Hall of Fame that are, you know, first ballot guys. You think, man, they might have should have.
You know, Ray Lewis is a first ballot, and that's what I think of when I think of first ballot.
Yeah, I think there's a difference there.
Right.
I think there's a difference
I agree
there.
With you.
Make him wait and sweat it out a little bit.
Well, just, you know, he's going to get in. But he wasn't so good that it's an automatic. Now, right. Ray Lewis, he was so good it's an automatic.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally agree. Chuck, thanks so much.
All right, guys,
appreciate
have fun.
It.
You guys have a good afternoon.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll be-